Amen. Who knows our word for the year at Lifehouse? You know why it's forward? Because we ain't going back. Look at your neighbor and tell them in your best East Tennessee Dolly Parton accent, we ain't going back. Yeah, we're moving forward in faith with God, even when. Now look at your other neighbor and say, even when. Even when the way isn't clear yet. I want you to stand. We're going to read this out loud together from Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to read this together every Sunday of the year. Even this Sunday, I'm preaching on this passage, but in the Sundays to come, because this is going to be the last sermon of this series, we're still going to read this. This is going to be a declaration. We're going to read it together every Sunday of the year. Let's go right now. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray today that you would speak to us, minister to us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray today that even as I'm preaching, the bodies that have been sick get healed. God, today I pray that even as I'm preaching, Lord, that minds that have been bound get free. God, I pray today that, Lord, where relationships have been dissolved, Lord, that the work of restoration already starts taking place, not because of the words of a preacher, but because of the power of God that is found in the word of God. Lord, we need you. We depend on you. There is nothing that any of us can do in this place today that would lead to any eternal significance. But God, in surrender, we come to you and we thank you in advance for what you are doing, for what you're going to do, and God, for all that you have done. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all of Lifehouse said, amen. Amen, amen. You can be seated. One more time, give the Lord praise as you're being seated. As I said a moment ago, this is our last Sunday in our Forward Sermon series. But I think that you're still going to see a lot of themes of this all throughout the year. And like I said, we're going to open and we're going to read that scripture together because that is the word for the year. And if I can be honest with you, as I felt like the Lord gave me that scripture and as I felt like the Lord gave me the word forward, I really thought that the first few Sunday messages would have been a little more light and hopeful. I mean, they have been hopeful, but not like hopeful like you know, like bluey hopeful. They've been like hopeful like, I don't know. I can't think of another TV show that's appropriate to say in church that works with it. But just in your own heart, you know what I'm talking about. I actually thought to myself, you know, if somebody wanted me to come guest speak for them, the sermon that I want to preach to you today, I think it's a great message and I think it's going to encourage you. But they would be like, hey, don't preach that. Don't come to my church and preach that one. That one's too tough. That one's too hard. I'm just letting you know on the front end. Are you okay? Are you okay, Ashley? You gave me a little cross-eyed look. Not that you were all about it. You were like, oh, no, Derek, we got to go. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You don't like it when I call you out like that, do you? You don't care. I'm going to do the whole sermon now. Remember in Isaiah 43 that God is speaking to his people who are in exile. This is the third week in the row that we've preached about a story where God is speaking to people who are in exile. The people of Israel were taken to the place, to the land of Babylon, and they are still there. Get used to this. You're going to get more of this. Look at your neighbor and say, still there. You know, sometimes you get a word from God. Sometimes the Lord drops something in your heart. Sometimes you start praying and you start fasting and you make this commitment to God because you need God and you're expecting God and you want God to move on your behalf in a certain situation. There might even be moments that somebody comes to you and says, hey, the Lord gave me something to tell you. And what they say just clicks with exactly what you've been going through. But also sometimes a week may go by. 2 weeks may go by, and you're still there. Look at your neighbor and say, still there. A month may go by, and you've got the word, you've heard the promise, and you have prayed, and you have fasted. Maybe you are still praying and still fasting. Maybe you even got another word, and 2 months go by, and guess what? You're You're getting it. 6 months. A year goes by, and guess what? You're still there. You see, the wilderness is the space between Babylon and home. The wilderness is the space between God's promise to you and the circumstances that surround you. And what we see in Scripture is that God rarely removes the wilderness, but He always redeems the wilderness. I'll say that one for you again, because if you ain't taking notes, you oughta, because that's worth writing down. God rarely, look at your neighbor and say rarely. God rarely removes the wilderness, but He always, look at your neighbor and say always. He always redeems the wilderness. You see, forward faith assumes wilderness, not comfort. But here is the challenge, and now this isn't me dogging our culture or dogging, you know, modern Christian Americans, but the truth is we have all grown up in a culture. If you have been born in the United States, you've grown up with this culture and this belief that if I start doing the right thing, then the right things will immediately start happening to me. But unfortunately, that is not the way of the kingdom. That's not always how it looks. You might be planting seed today that you do not see the harvest of for a decade. And that's difficult, right? Because we live in a microwave society, right? I won't call them out, but I saw a post this morning about somebody, and they're in this building right now, and God, we just need to pray for them. They're smokers acting up, y'all. They're smokers acting up. Lord Jesus, that you would just touch that auger in Jesus' name, and that those pellets would move, and that brisket would be beautiful, right? But you see, here's the truth. I love what comes out of a smoker. I don't love what comes out of a microwave. I'll be real with you. But sometimes I get hungry, and I'm like, a Hot Pocket's good enough. But you see, in the way of the kingdom, I need something. Y'all know I'm so hungry. I got to stop this. Y'all pray for me. The way of the kingdom, God says, I'm not giving you microwave blessings. I'm giving you slow cooker blessings, right? And that's just how it works. Forward faith assumes wilderness, not comfort. Part of that verse says this in verse 19, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. Through the wilderness, not around, not over, not under, not another route entirely, through the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but for most of my adult Christian life, I have assumed wilderness seasons to either mean that God's mad at me or God's abandoned me. But the more I dig into this, the more I find out that maybe in the wilderness seasons, that's when He's closest to me. Maybe in the wilderness seasons, that's when He's most invested in His work in me. Not that He's mad at me, but maybe He's mad for me. Not that He's left me, but maybe He's drawn in closer to me. It's in those seasons when He feels far away that the reality is, if I could see with spiritual eyes, that God is actually closer in those moments than in others. You see, the wilderness is part of God's plan for your life. And here's the part, or I don't think anybody's going to ask me to come to their church and preach this, because we want to preach the Jeremiah 29:11, and that is a great verse, and that is a great promise. But guess where they were when God said that? They were in Babylon. They were still in their own wilderness. They were still in the middle of the mess. You see, the wilderness is part of God's plan for your life. It's the process that He has for you to get you where, not just that He wants you, but even where you want you. Have you ever thought about how Jesus prayed when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, this is what I want. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. I want to encourage you that in your own prayer life that you begin adopting that kind of a mentality of, God, these are my requests. These are the things I want you to do. But Lord, you know me so good and you know my situation so good that even if you choose to act in another way, I'm surrendered to you. Man, that's forgive the saying here, but that's a grown man praying. That's grown woman praying. That's not childish praying. That's not pity praying. That's not petty praying. That is grown up. That's mature prayer right there. The wilderness is not where God leaves his people. The wilderness is where God leads his people. He doesn't leave you there. He's actually the one who brought you there. I'll talk about that in a little bit. 1,000 years prior to Isaiah writing this verse, this passage, his whole book, Israel experienced the Exodus. Last night, my family, we watched The Prince of Egypt. I needed a little bit of a refresher course. Did you watch it last night too? But you watched it recently. That's a good one. It is. It's good. In this story that in Exodus, the people are in bondage to Egypt, both physically and spiritually. And God gives a promise to Moses that, Moses, I want you to go confront Pharaoh, and then you're going to lead my people out of slavery in Egypt, and then you're going to lead them through the wilderness into the promised land. Real funny story. I'm going to Israel in a few weeks, so pray for me because I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity. And my family knows I'm going to Israel. But we've only used the word Israel. And so the movie is over, and, you know, it's really cool. And Magnolia, she looks back at me, and she goes, Dad, wouldn't it be so cool if you got to go to the promised land? Because she doesn't know that Israel is the promised land. Anyway, it was really cute. And I was like, I'm going, baby. And her eyes couldn't have gotten any bigger. I'm going to the promised land, sweetie. But between the bondage of Egypt and the promise of Canaan, that's where they were going, there was the wilderness. Between the exodus and the entrance, there was the wilderness. 40 years of journeying through the wilderness before they saw the promise. You might be like, Drew, I ain't got 40 years. That's a long time. Drew, I don't even know if I've got 40 days. I don't even know if I've got 40 hours. You see, God got Israel out of Egypt in just really a few days to a few weeks. But it took 40 years for God to get Egypt out of Israel. And this is hard to hear, but this is something that we need to hear. The reason why it took so long is not because God wouldn't do it, but because the people were stubborn. Because they were selfish. Because they would not surrender their own will. And because they refused to move forward in faith. I want to tell God, like, God, I'm good. Whatever you want, I'm good. It won't take that long with me, please. Pretty please. But here at 40 years old, I've been like, it's taken a while, Derek. It's taken a while. God loved them too much to give them a promise they weren't ready to receive. God loves you too much to give you a promise that you're not ready to receive, not mature enough to appreciate, not grown up enough yet to embrace and to understand. You guys okay, Lifehouse Church? You see, in all of this, life really is wilderness compared to the promise that awaits us, not just the bad times. But you see, every one of us, if you are a Christian today, at one point in your life, you were not a Christian and you lived in sin, which is essentially like the exile or bondage, right? You lived in sin. And then Jesus, through your belief in Jesus, he has redeemed you. He has set you free from sin and how he's brought you out of exile into freedom. And Denora, he has a promise for us. And that promise begins now, but it's not completely fulfilled now. Right? And that promise is what awaits us on the other side of this life. That promise of eternity, that promise of life that is beyond just the life I can experience here for now. But between now and then, there is wilderness. A wilderness between who we were and where God is taking us. That is where we are living right now on our way to our eternal promise. So in a way, we are in the wilderness, even if you would say, hey, things are going pretty good in life right now, which I hope for you that's the case. But you're still living in a wilderness because you have yet to walk completely into the good things and the promise that God has for you. But one day, look at your neighbor and say, one day, I'm going to walk in. I was privileged to attend a ceremony yesterday honoring an amazing woman of God. And I just love the spirit that was in that church as the pastor spoke and the songs were sang. And it was a day of grieving, but it was also a day of celebration, not just celebrating the life that was lived, but the life that is getting to be lived now. You see, here's the thing about following Jesus, and I'm kind of going off script for a little bit. You know, Paul says this in his letter to the church at Philippi, and I'm kind of pulling it out of context, but he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, when you really know who you are in Christ, and you really understand all the promises that are yours in Christ, the devil has nothing that he can hold over you. Because even if he kills you, gain. But even if he makes you suffer now, and then this is hard. This is grown-up preaching, John. If you suffer now, if he brings suffering into your life, you know what that does? That makes me look more like Jesus. Go read the book of Philippians later today while you're fasting dinner tonight. And talk about how Paul wanted to embrace the sufferings of Christ because that actually made him more like Christ. To live is Christ and to die is gain. You stinky old nasty devil, you ain't got nothing you can hold over my head. Because even if you bring me through hard times, that just makes me look more like Jesus. And even if you were to take my life belongs to him. And that's to who I'm going to go. You see, God provides direction and sustenance along the way while we're in the wilderness. The latter part of that verse, it says, Isaiah says, I will make a pathway, or rather God says through Isaiah, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers. Look at your neighbor and say rivers in the dry wasteland. You see, the path is what God is using to direct us, but the rivers are what God is using to provide for us. Now, our problem, and I lump myself very much into this, so please never feel like I'm preaching at you. Understand that I know you're not the one preaching, but we're in this together, okay? You showed up today, we're in this together, whether you like it or not. And so our problem is we want it all right now. God, give me the direction. God, give me the provision. God, give me the healing. God, give me the answer right now. Come on, is anybody in the house that, Lord, if you just, this is what I want, and if you'd go ahead and get on that, I'd be much obliged, right? We ask God for shortcuts, but God is asking us for surrender. We want God to hurry, but God's saying, give me your heart. And we're saying things like, God, just do your thing, but God's saying to us, Drew, just trust my plan. And here is the promise that he does give us in Scripture. He says, here's enough for today. Here's enough for today. I run a great risk in what I'm about to do because I don't want you to fall asleep. So if you think you might fall asleep, don't do this. But I want the words of Jesus to minister to you right now. And even though I'm the one that's going to read them, I want you to hear them. So if you can do this without falling asleep, right where you're sitting right now, I'm going to read a good portion of Scripture from one of the most quoted passages in the entire Bible that if you are in a wilderness right now, if you're dealing with hardship right now, I believe that even as I read that this is going to minister to you. But I want you to hear it from the heart of the Holy Spirit. So if you can, without going to sleep, close your eyes. And if you can't, just lean into this. These are the words of Christ in Matthew 6. This is why I tell you to not worry about your everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You can open your eyes. Jesus even instructs us to pray in this manner. Will you put the next slide up for me? You guys have probably read and said this before, but can we read this together? You don't have to stand. But can we read this together? Let's go. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What's that underlined phrase? Give us this day. That's forward faith, step by step, day by day, trust by trust. We want it all right now, but God says, I will give you enough for today. And then tomorrow morning, you get up and you come back to me, and I'll give you what you need for that day. And then so repeats the cycle for every follower of Jesus for the rest of their life until the day comes that we see him face to face. God, I don't know if I've got enough wisdom to raise teenagers. Well, Drew, do today what you can. Somebody pray for me. Do today what you can do, what I enable you to do, and then you come back to me tomorrow for the rest. Lord, I don't know. I don't have what it takes to pastor a church. Yeah, but you have enough of what it takes to pastor the church today, because I'm giving you what you need today to do what I've called you to do. You see, again, I'm not trying to be critical of being an American, because I love being an American, and I love cheeseburgers. And I got to stop, y'all. I got to stop. I was just trying to think of the most American food, and that and apple pie were running a close race. But you know, America was founded with a document called the Declaration of Independence. But And that gets very much ingrained into our psyche as people, right? We want to be people who make decisions for ourselves. We want to be people who can make a living for ourselves. And I know I don't want to go off in the weeds here, but we are approaching a time in history where a lot of people want other people to make a living for them. But that's neither here nor there, and I apologize for even saying that. But. You know, we want to be self-made people. We want to make decisions that direct our lives. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. I don't want nobody having control over my day. And so, in a sense, we love being independent. But the truth is that when you come to Christ, you take that independence and you offer it at the foot of the cross and say, God, here is my independence. And then you throw that down, and then you pick up the mantle of dependence and you put that on. And then you realize with your entire life, like the Bible even tells us that my life is not my own. I was purchased by the blood of Jesus. I don't get to live for me anymore. I don't get to decide for me anymore. I don't get to make decisions for me anymore. My opinions, they do not matter. I don't even have the right to be offended. I don't have the right to hold on to unforgiveness. I don't have the right to hold on to bitterness. I don't have the right to be critical. I don't have the right to be cynical. I don't have the right to look down on somebody else. I don't even have the right to look up to somebody else, because my life doesn't belong to me. My life belongs to Jesus. And we adopt the same mentality that Jesus himself had. He said, I do what I see my Father do, and I say what what I hear my Father say. And if your life is hidden in Christ, you do what Jesus does and you say what Jesus says. And anytime you step out of those boundaries, that is where sin is. Sin is not doing some deep, dark thing, right? Sin is when Jesus is walking this way, you start walking this way. That's what sin is. It is as simple and it is as complicated as that. And let me even reinforce this a little bit more. When Jesus is writing to the seven churches in Revelation, he scolds one of the churches, not because they were too dependent on Jesus, but because he said of them, you have silver and you have gold and you think you're rich and you don't need anything. And so because all of your worldly and material needs are provided for, it is taking you off track and following me, because you have been filled, like you've received what you think you need, and so you don't realize that you still need me. And he said, you may have material possessions, you may have nice clothes, you may have nice stuff, but he says what you don't realize is that spiritually you are naked and you are wretched. And unfortunately for many of the Christians in the United States and even around the world, because it's not just an American problem, it's a sin problem, right, is that we think we're doing great because we got money in the bank, food in the cabinets, right? We got gas in the car, and we're like, hey, I'm doing all right. But the truth is, if you were not living in a state of dependence on Jesus, God, if you don't do it, I can't do it. If you don't help me, it won't get done. If you're not living in a state of dependence on Jesus, every single day of your life, for every conversation you have, for everything that is required of you, if you're not living in a state of dependence on Jesus, he's looking at you saying, hey, you think you're doing good, but you're blind, you're wretched, you're naked, you're miserable, you're poor, because you don't know what the riches are that I want to give to you. Does that make sense? It's a mind shift. It goes against everything that we've been taught our whole life. And that doesn't mean that when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. That doesn't mean that you don't do anything but like pray all day. It just means that everything now that you do is about seeking first the kingdom of God. So in raising my kids, I don't raise my kids because I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, but in raising my kids, I am putting first the kingdom of God. You know, and your job, you're not doing your job. Like, well, you know, I can't work today. I got to stay home and pray. Let me know how that goes for you. You know, that's not it. No. But you recognize that the job that you get paid for and the job that you're there to do for your king are different. You do dialysis, is that right, John? Tell me. You may not can explain it to me. I don't know. No. What do you do now? Private duty nurse. Okay, so you're taking care of, and you know this, we've talked about this. You pray before you go into every house, right? Yeah, and I love that about John, because John, you realize that while your job is paying you to take care of physical needs, your king has commissioned you to go meet spiritual needs. That's for every one of you in the room. You say, well, Drew, I don't work with people. I work with stuff. I bet you work with people. You're not there to do the thing that you're getting paid to do. Now, but let me say this. Oh, man, I'm going to go over. Don went over his timer. I can go over mine. I know. I'll hear about this Wednesday. Here's what I will say. If you make it known that you're a Christian to the people you work for and the people that you work with, you better work hard. Don't make Jesus look bad because you're lazy. Don't make Jesus look bad because you show up late. You better get there before everybody, work harder than anybody, and leave after everybody, because you don't just represent you. You don't just represent your family. You represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right, somebody say amen to that, even if you didn't like it. Also, it's important for us to remember that the goal of deliverance is worship, not relief. Why did God free the people of Israel from Egypt? The answer that we want to offer, and this isn't a wrong answer, it's just an incomplete answer. The answer that we want to offer is God freed the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt because slavery is bad and he wanted them to be free. But there's more to it than that. So that they could go to the mountain of God and worship the God of the mountain. The primary goal of you being delivered from the wilderness that you're in is not so that your life would get better, but so that your worship would grow deeper. The primary goal of what God wants to do in you, what God wants to do for you, is not just so that you can get an answer to your prayers, but so that you would recognize on a greater level than you have ever recognized before how good he is, how gracious he is, how merciful he is, and how worthy of all of your worship that he is. The goal of deliverance is not, maybe I can even say it like this, just relief. Because God does want to free you. God does want to heal you. But he doesn't just want to free you, and he doesn't just want to heal you. Can you say amen to that? This is a few verses after what we read in Isaiah 43 and verse 20. He says, I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. That they might declare my praise. Let me tell you, deliverance is not the destination, comfort is not the goal, and answered prayer is not even the end game. Some of you right now, you're frustrated because you started these 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we're here on day 14-ish, whatever, and you started with a prayer, and here on day 14, you've done everything that you think you're supposed to do, and you're thinking, God, why haven't you done what I thought you were supposed to do? But have you grown closer to the Lord? Have you prioritized prayer? Have you spent more time in his word? Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you committed yourself more to the work of God in your life? I'm here to tell you, this is hard. And again, this is grown-up preaching. God is infinitely less concerned about giving you what you want than he is about giving you what you need. And the thing that you need is not what he does for you. The thing that you need most of all is the thing that he's doing in you. Is it Mercy Me that sings the song? And again, I'm just... Y'all didn't pray enough for me this week. I'm kind of just like a pinball machine, just everywhere. Isn't it the Mercy Me song, Lord Bring the Rain, or is it Casting Crowns? It's one of those Christian boy bands. She's singing it over there for me. Does anybody remember that song? Anybody remember the words? It's Mercy Me. Did I say them? Yeah. I can imagine it's them. I don't remember the words. I don't remember the lyrics. But I remember that the essence of the song is essentially like, God, if the storm is what I've got to face, to get where I'm going, to get where you're taking me, bring the rain. If the problems are what I've got to, if the pain is what I've got to endure to become who you've made me to be, again, this is grown-up preaching, and this is grown-up praying. Your favorite YouTube personality is probably not going to put this in their shorts. This probably won't be on their reels. God, if it takes me walking through hell to get the heaven you have for me, bring it. Answered prayer, comfort, deliverance, they're great, but they're not everything. God's glory is. Many of you in the room, you're in the middle of it. You started 2026. Heck, you probably started 2020 with high hopes. Anybody in the house? Started 2021. Woo, can't get no worse than this. 22, 23, 24. I don't even remember. What was 2019? I don't even know. You started 2026 with some great hopes. You were ready to move forward in faith. But for some of you in the house, the year's already punched you in the nose. And I know this is cliche, but it's also true. I want you to hear this promise from him today. If God has brought you to it, I believe he will bring you through it. But he won't just bring you through it. While he's bringing you through it, you're going to grow closer to the Lord. Your faith is going to grow. I saw this on social media last night. I posted it in my stories. Chuck Swindoll said, when I ask people when they really grew spiritually, they never describe an easy time. Never. I don't know for sure if he said that. I don't know for sure that he said that, but regardless of who said it, it's an amazing quote. I'll read it again. When I ask people when they really grew spiritually, they never describe an easy time. Never. And the next time, here's the thing. When you get through what you're going through right now, and I know I'm not trying to be discouraging, but I'm trying to be honest. Matthew, you know this. There'll be another battle. There will be another storm. There will be another situation. But here's the difference. If God were to bring you to that storm right now, you couldn't face it. It'd destroy you. Because you've got to go through this and get stronger so that when you come out the other side, you can face what's next. I'm bouncing again. And like the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, that sometimes God lets you go through the mess you're going through so that when you get to the other side of it, you can be there for somebody else who's going through something. And you can grab them by the hand. You can take them by the arm and say, listen, brother, listen, sister, I know what it's like. I know what you're facing. And I know right now it seems like nothing good's ever going to happen again. But I promise you, the sun will rise again. The storm will cease. The pain and the problems will go away. And you're going to come out the other side of this better than you ever thought you ever could. Your wilderness will not be wasted. Your pain will not be pointless. And your struggle will not be squandered. God never wastes your pain. It's never for no reason. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was baptized and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you would think that right then, Denora, that's when he starts preaching. That's when he starts laying hands on people. And that's when people start getting healed. And that's when dead people start coming back to life. You would think like baptism and then Holy Spirit filled. I got the power. Let's go. Let's get to work. Let's do some ministry. But that's not what happens at all. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, not the devil, but the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness to pray and fast for 40 days and to be tempted by the devil. Jesus comes off of this spiritual high where he is baptized. He hears God the Father speak in an audible voice where all around him can hear it. And there's this moment where the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, descends on him and he's filled with the Spirit. And instead of going doing something amazing right then, he basically goes to Earth's version of hell. Let me send you where there's no sustenance, no water, nobody, no person to help you. To struggle, to pray, to fast. It seems counterintuitive, right? It seems like, why would God do that? Forward does not mean easy. Forward means faithful. And then when Jesus comes back from the wilderness, Luke tells us that Jesus, he had already been filled with the Spirit, but when he comes back from the wilderness, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. Holy Spirit wants, he doesn't just want to fill you. He wants to put inside of you a power. Because see, Max, your life is not just about you. It's not, and I'm not picking on Max. He's right here, so you get this. For all of us, your life is not just about you. If every time you come down to this altar for the rest of your life, you're always praying for you or somebody really close to you, you're missing the point of what it means to follow Jesus. If every time you go to God in prayer, all of your prayers revolve around asking for forgiveness, asking for help, and asking for strength, you're missing the point of what it means to follow Jesus. Because ultimately, following Jesus means, number one, my life is not about me, it's about Him. And number two, my life is not about me, it's about them. God doesn't want to just fill you so that you can go home and be a gospel glutton where you receive all the good things God has for you. God wants to fill you and give you power. Look at your neighbor and say, power. Look at your other neighbor and say it a little louder, power. God wants to give you power so that you leave an encounter transformed and set on fire by God Almighty, so that you don't just contain this within you, but you have no choice to share it with those around you. Forward means we're trusting God enough to move with God, even when the only thing we can see is the finger of God saying, right here. Don's going to sing here in a second. And this is my altar call today. I want to ask you to come forward. If you want to come forward, you can, but I'm not asking you to do that. But without any hype or emotion, not just because you just want to be part of the crowd, but like you're here today and you're like, you know what? For too long, my Christian life has been too much about me. It's been too much about my problems, my pain, my struggles. It's been too much about me getting from God what I think God owes me. But I realized today, God doesn't owe me anything. I'm not entitled to one thing from the Lord. But in His goodness, He's given me everything. So instead of focusing on what I want, on what I need, on what I think He owes me, I want to be filled with the Spirit. And I want to be filled with power. Because I want to be somebody that walks out of these church doors and takes this good thing that God's done in me and shares it and shows it to them. I'm facing pains and I'm facing problems and I'm facing heartache. I feel like the Lord is saying to you, for weeks you have prayed about your struggle, and the reason why you are not finding deliverance is because you were too inwardly focused. You have asked and asked and asked, but you have yet to turn your eyes outward. And instead of asking what God can do, you got to start asking God, what do you want me to do? If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power, you're ready to move forward. Yes, we're acknowledging the wilderness, but we know He's leading us through. Yes, we're acknowledging the pain, but He's the God who creates rivers and dry wastelands. We know He's going to provide. This isn't about, if this ain't for you, if you're like, nah, I'm not there, stay seated. But if you're there, if you're ready, would you just stand right where you are? Praise God. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Listen, if you're still seated, that's fine. The Lord's working in you. The Lord's doing a work in you. And I know that. And that's okay. That's okay, because you're not where he's not done with you yet either. I hope nobody feels ashamed today because you didn't stand up, because that's not what's in my heart. And that's not what needs to be in your heart either. The Lord's still got a plan and a process for you. Your time's coming. Your time's coming, and that's okay. Can we worship together for a few moments? If you want to stand as we worship, I invite you to do so. But Don, if you'll come on, let's worship together today. And as we worship, ask the Holy Spirit to solidify this work that He's doing in your heart and your life. Go ahead, Don, if you'd lead us, brother.
I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give my myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Sing it again. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Sing it again. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. Give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. All my ambitions, all my desires, I give them all away. So you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I'll give myself. Yeah. Sing it again. My life is not my own. To you I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use. One more time. I give myself away.
Thank you so much for the moving of your Spirit in this place and in our lives today. God, I pray that this word, while challenging, would be received in the spirit that it is offered. And that, Father, that the fruit produced from it would result in lifelong transformation, not because of anything I say, but Lord, because of the work of your Holy Spirit in us. You're so good, so kind, so patient. And God, we know that you who have begun this good work in us will see it through to completion. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's read our, you can give the Lord praise. Let's pray our benediction together over ourselves. The Lord bless me and keep me. The Lord turn his face toward me and give me peace. I am loved. I am highly valued. God is with me. I release what's behind me. I receive what God is doing now. I am moving forward in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Lifehouse. Praying for you on this last week of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And also want to remind you, if you are a guest with us, we would love so much for you to join us for next steps in room 101.